Hey everyone, welcome to the BTC Top Rope Talk Podcast, episode 8, March 23rd, 2018. I am Matt, as always, joined by two others this week. Aaron joins us this week as Travis leaves us. He gave his notice 2 minutes before the show started. He gave his notice.
I gave like a few hours before I said I couldn't make it, but you know, Travis is like a couple Aaron. Minutes.
Oh fuck no, Aaron! Don't you try to justify you not being here on the podcast. You fucker! You're in the same lane as him, so don't you say shit.
How could I miss the episode talking about Daniel Bryan? I mean, I can't miss that.
Just the three of us this week. Travis gave his notice 2 minutes before the show started. So it's me, Matt. Aaron's back, as you can hear. And we have a birthday boy this week. Happy birthday to Ashton today, who's joining us as well. Hi,
woo,
Ashton.
Woo, yeah, woo.
Gracias, mi amigos. I appreciate you.
Yes. All right, so I expected another... slow week on the road to WrestleMania, but it turned into the road to YesleMania real fucking quick on Tuesday. Tuesday afternoon, WWE.com posted an article that said the following. Following more than 2 years of extensive evaluations, four-time world champion Daniel Bryan has been medically cleared to return to in-ring competition by leading neurosurgeons, neurologists, and concussion experts, including Dr. Robert Cantu, Dr. Javier Cardenas, and Dr. Jeffrey Kutcher. Bryan underwent a full review of his medical history and received comprehensive neurological and physical evaluations independent of WWE. He was cleared by each doctor as well as WWE's medical director, Dr. Joseph Maroon. After enjoying numerous championship runs, battling in legendary rivalries as both a singles and tag team competitor, and sparking the epic Yes movement, Bryan was forced to make an emotional decision to retire from competition on February 8, 2016. Later that year, he became the SmackDown Live General Manager, where he has continued to be an active part of the new brand. Daniel Bryan is back, boys. How did that make you feel when you saw the news on Tuesday?
It made me feel shocked. Definitely shocked. Because I wasn't paying attention to the news like all day that day. And I get into the chat seeing all this stuff about Daniel Bryan and everything. I'm like, wait, what? So I go to the page with everything and it says Daniel Bryan's been cleared. I'm like, okay. I just started flipping out.
What I was doing, I was waking up at like 12 or something, whenever they sent notification out. And I literally just woke up like a minute before. And I never jumped out of my bed so fucking fast. I almost did an Eddie Guerrero frog splash on my damn dog. And like, I jumped up with so much joy, I hit my head on my fan. Like, I started yelling in my house because it shocked the shit out of me. Because first off, I'm going to tell you how I read it. It's clear for competition. Hold on. I know that shit didn't say that, Brian. Wait, that, it must be a typo or some shit. Hey, you, Brian, is clear for good. Oh, shit! was over. It was cleared. The first thing that went through my mind is him versus Shinsuke, him versus Nakamura can happen now. That's the only thing that went through my mind. And him versus AJ, him
versus The Miz, they've been building that matchup for freaking ever.
I really think Vince was like, fuck, this is perfect and I can't use it. I think he was so pissed.
Yeah.
So I was also just waking up when the announcement made. Obviously, this is quite the awesome thing to see. This is a big journey for science in general, for this man to go through all he's done. A lot of treatments and stuff to try and get his brain back to normal, and it pretty much sounds like it is back to normal. There's been a lot of research that suggests all concussions need is some time for your brain to heal, and you can return to normal, and that seems to be the case for Daniel Bryan. He did a lot of therapy, a lot of treatment, and it was as much as I've had a lot of different opinions on him being forced to retire, but I think it was in the interest of his best health. They're obviously scared after the Chris Benoit situation about head injuries.
Yeah. That wasn't just concussions, though. That was steroids and concussions.
Concussions and steroids. Right there. Yeah. But
not to jump too far ahead, though, but the way they tossed him back into the wolves was just mind-blowing. It was just like, what?
Yeah, we will talk about Daniel Bryan's interesting way of coming back into the fold on SmackDown.
It's like, oh my gosh.
We'll talk about that here in a minute, but
oh god.
It's no secret backstage that Vince's favorite wrestler was Daniel Bryan. It's been said by a lot of people, including Daniel himself. It hurt Vince having to force him to retire. It was Joseph Maroon who would not clear him. If it was up to Vince, he would have cleared him right away, but that wasn't the case. I have a lot of opinions on Joseph Maroon, not good ones. A lot of the loss of Baron Corbin's push over the summer was because he went after Maroon in a wrestler's meeting with Maroon over concussions, and Corbin spoke up for the wrestlers and in a good way, and obviously lost kind of his push as a result, lost some Money in the Bank contract, got beat by Cena with 1AA at SummerSlam, so I don't have a lot of great opinions on Maroon, but I genuinely believe they were looking out for Daniel Bryan's best interests. Obviously, it was no secret he was going to head back to the Indies. He was going to head to NJPW. He wanted to go down to CMLL and do a mask versus hair match with Blue Panther. And there's a lot of things Daniel wanted to do, but he loves the WWE. He wants to wrestle in the WWE. Now he's been cleared. There's not a chance in hell that he's going to be leaving come September 22nd. They'll renew his contract. The thing with Daniel
Bryan... actually September 1st.
Yeah.
September 1st. Actually, it was not September 1st, because September 1st was All In, and they've already said he wouldn't be back for All... or he wouldn't be available for All In. I believe it was the 22nd. So, I could be wrong. I don't know. I just know he wasn't going to be available for All In, and that was kind of a
lot. Yeah, I do know that, too.
I just know that was a lot of people's pipe dream, along with Punk. But Bryan, I think the two main scenarios take away from this, he is cleared to wrestle as much as he wants. It sounds as if he's looking for a Randy Orton type of schedule, TVs, pay-per-views, somehow shows, but he's got a wife and a kid now, and he's building a family, and he loves that, so I don't expect him to go on these Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns type schedules.
Maybe a Jericho type would be, like, Jericho's last run type.
Yeah. But I'd expect to see him at some house shows. He's advertised now for the Greatest Royal Rumble in Saudi Arabia. He's advertised for the London shows. So he's back, and he's wrestling. And he has to do impact testing after every match he does, which he agreed to. So that's not a bad thing, in my opinion. And maybe more wrestlers should be taking impact testing after the matches.
Yeah. Especially if you're a high flyer.
Yeah. High flyer, or if you're more of a strong style based wrestler and like to take stiff shots, like
Under
or something. But yeah, a lot of good things coming with the clearing of Daniel Bryan. Obviously, in an official capacity, it almost looks like Daniel Bryan in kayfabe. Daniel Bryan looks to have more of a WrestleMania path than John Cena does, which. Which is interesting. We'll talk about Monday Night Raw and Ashton's favorite storyline on the roster in a second, but
the fuck up. You know, I cut off my TV 3 times in the past 3 weeks because these fuckers are still messing with my emotions.
All right, Matt. Don't get him started just yet. Go.
But yeah, Daniel's back in the fold on SmackDown. We'll talk about SmackDown in a second. We'll start with Monday Night Raw. Raw was really good this week. Really, really good. Kicked off with Kurt Angle, who said he had to start off with some bad news that Roman Reigns was still suspended, won't be there tonight, and that Brock Lesnar was not yet at the arena, but will make it to Raw. He then talks about Braun Strowman winning the Tag Team Battle Royal by himself last week, but is interrupted when Roman Reigns makes his way through the crowd and into the ring. Angle asks him what he's doing and informs him that he's trespassing. Roman says he doesn't care because Brock hasn't been there for weeks and someone needs to represent the main event of WrestleMania. Angle says he understands why Roman is upset, but he'll have to make his complaints on his own time outside the arena. Roman protests being suspended for telling the truth. Angle reassures Roman that he'll get his shot at Brock at WrestleMania and that he should save up his anger for then. Roman says he does understand, but he doesn't care. He wants Angle to go to the back and tell Vince that Roman isn't leaving until he gets his hands on Brock. Angle leaves and Roman grabs a chair to sit down in the ring. When U.S. Marshals come down to the ring to confront Reigns and arrest him, Roman begrudgingly allows himself to be handcuffed and is being escorted out, but starts to fight the marshals once they try to touch him, and he was throwing some stiff elbows in this scenario, which is the best that someone can do when he's handcuffed, I guess. He beat up the very well-trained law enforcement officers, which were not indie wrestlers by any means whatsoever, while handcuffed, when Brock Lesnar's music hits and he finally appears. Roman did really well here. He looked down at his handcuffs, realized he was fucked, went outside, grabbed a steel chair, tried to swing it wildly with the handcuffs on. Brock ducks it and suplexes him to hell, and then assaults him with the chair very violently. Continues the beatdown with more suplexes and chair shots, leaves the ring for a short time, takes his shirt off, returns for another assault. He's about to leave again, returns again, delivers an F5 to a handcuffed Roman. Lesnar leaves for real as a stretcher is sent out to collect the remains of one Joseph Anoa'i. And as Roman is being wheeled off, Lesnar returns once again with the music and pushes over the stretcher and taunts Reigns. And Lesnar had to very... This was funny watching live. Roman was right next to the steel steps, and Lesnar had to, like, push the stretcher in a way that where he could tip over Roman without Roman snapping his ankle in half on the steel steps. So he lightly pushed the stretcher and then turned him over. So that was funny. But after the break, Roman is shown being loaded into an ambulance, and WWE uploaded a photo on Instagram where the handcuffs were cut off of Roman, and he looked like he genuinely broke his wrist. So I haven't heard on anything, but I'm sure Roman's wrists are not feeling too good this week.
I'm going to be honest, this storyline that they got going is very, very good.
I've really enjoyed it.
Like, since the Roman hater isn't here this week, you know, we can speak more freely about Roman Reigns and say
we got another one, but he's more willing to give Roman credit. He's more willing to give Roman credit.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. So I'm not going to exactly call you a Roman hater like Travis. Whatever his name is.
He got his man, Travis.
Anyways, Roman Reigns is killing it in this storyline, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm also really enjoying the storyline. Ashton, you have anything to add?
We definitely say he's not stuttering on the mic now. This is actually him talking. I really think it's him actually. Like it was like, oh, should be different from everybody else's, because that old school like hero type shit isn't working. So he just needs to be more real. So he's actually being very real, and he's actually putting everybody's business out there. And whatever that works, so whenever he does that, he gets the crowd a little bit behind him. It happened with Cena. It's happened in multiple storylines before. So I think this is the route Vince should go. If he wants him to be the face, even though he could literally be one of the best heels in the history of wrestling. But if he wants him to be the face, then fine. But his dumb ass should, and I mean he should, continue this route with his promos. Because his promos are actually very good this way. I will give credit where it's due. But I will say this. I still do not think Rock versus Roman should be the main event of WrestleMania 34. There are too many damn matches on that card that are actual dream matches that would absolutely be a killer main event.
Agreed.
That's probably an unpopular opinion. I don't know.
But oh, it's a very popular opinion. Don't worry.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just me speaking the truth of how I feel, and I honestly think I can't believe it. But there's three matches on the card even more qualified to be main event than Brock versus Roman. Sure, they put on a classic back at 31. I'm not gonna lie, they did, and it was actually really good. And the ending was absolutely shocking because you know who decided to cash in. And it was an absolute perfect time. And I don't know why the fuck nobody else thought of that or nobody else wanted to do that. Even though, like, you know, it's the main Money in the Bank briefcase. But anyways, I think that Asuka versus Charlotte or AJ versus Nakamura can main event Mania 34. But, you know, Vince wants what he wants, so...
Alexa Bliss comes out and tries to backpedal on her comments about Nia Jax last week, saying her and Mickey were just joking. She says that she got carried away and apologizes to Nia. She channels her inner Jeff Jarrett and says that she's sorry, but she's sorry that she didn't say it earlier. Alexa says that she loves seeing Nia get humiliated in front of the entire world and is glad that she was able to just tell the truth about using her. She calls Nia dumb again and is glad she got all this off her chest and that she dropped 300 pounds of sad, pathetic loser. Now, without Nia hanging around, she could focus on ending Asuka's streak. Asuka versus Alexa Bliss happened. It was an okay match. Alexa had a couple of very, 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 very bad sells, as I expected with an Asuka match. Alexa eventually left the ring and was counted out, so Asuka defeated her via countout. As Alexa and Mickey tried to leave after the countout, Nia runs out and quickly takes out Mickey. Alexa tried to escape, but Nia grabs her until Mickey provides a distraction, and Alexa escapes through the crowd while Nia gives chase.
I think that was one of my favorite things about going to the live show Saturday, was still seeing some kind of story progression with some things, because when I went... After it was Alexa Bliss versus Sasha Banks for the Women's Championship, and after Alexa won, Nia Jax came out, and Alexa was all apologizing to her and stuff, and Alexa gave her a hug and everything, and then Nia Jax just power bombs her. It was just great story progression. I was really surprised to see that in a live show.
I thought they kind of fucked that up at the press conference, but okay.
Yeah, they did, but... Oh, well. Alexa goes to Kurt Angle and asks for Nia Jax to be arrested. Angle says he is through being pushed around and that he is disgusted with Alexa's actions since she should be a role model, not a bully, and makes a match between Nia Jax and Alexa Bliss for the Raw Women's Championship at WrestleMania. So... there's that. Braun Strowman comes out and talks about winning the Tag Team Battle Royal by himself last week, giving him a path to WrestleMania, but he first must find a partner. Braun says he doesn't need a partner and claims he can win the titles by himself. The Bar interrupts and Sheamus says he's out of his mind and that throwing people out of the ring is nothing compared to beating the best team in the WWE. Cesaro explains that being a great team doesn't happen overnight. You have to eat, train, and sleep together. To which the crowd picked up on that very quickly.
I thought that was so clever. Whoever came up with that, they totally deserve an Oscar. Holy shit.
Sheamus says he doesn't care who Braun's partner is. The Bar will be leaving WrestleMania as the tag champs. Braun tells them to shut up, which Sheamus takes offense to, saying Brock's beating to Roman earlier that night will be nothing compared to their beating they'll be giving them. Braun tells them they should worry that he will have a partner and that he has a match against either one of them right now. So we got Braun Strowman versus Cesaro. Pretty fun little match. Strowman defeats Cesaro with the running power slam. Matt Hardy welcomes us into his home where Queen Rebecca plays the piano with Senor.
Wait. My question is, who are they going to have? Are they even going to have Braun Strowman with a partner?
I truly believe it's Elias. I 100% believe it's Elias.
Like, I just don't know. It'd be cool to see him, like, win the titles by himself, though.
If it's not Elias... If it's not Elias, I want Braun Strowman to drag the carcass of James Ellsworth down the ring, put him on the apron, put him on the apron, have him lay there dead, and then go and beat the tag champs.
I swear to God, what's up with you? Anyways, move on, Matt. You just ruined that whole thing.
Dude, I don't know what the fuck to say to that. What the fuck
do I suppose to
say to that?
Yeah. Just move on, Matt. Ultimate
deletion.
Let's go.
Matt Hardy welcomes us into his home where Queen Rebecca plays his piano as Senor Benjamin, King Maxwell, and Lord Wolfgang watch. Matt says he does all this for them and he asks Van.
Can I say something real quick?
Yes.
I did not know Ripley Sky was so goddamn fine. Holy shit.
Yeah.
I've never watched any of her stuff for TNA, so I didn't see her until, like, she was on WWE TV. Now, Matt, that's a step up from Lita, cuz. That's a big-ass step up from Lita. And I see her Playboy stuff, too. She got a pretty little kitty. I ain't gonna lie. Oh, my God, I can't believe what I said, man. Okay,
It's your birthday. I mean, we'll take it.
Okay.
Matt says he does all this for them, and he asks Vanguard 1 to scan the compound for an intruder. He gives the orders to Senor Benjamin to prepare the battlefield for deletion. We get the Revival versus Titus Worldwide with Dana Brooke at ringside. Apollo Crews eats the Shatter Machine from the Revival. After the match, the Revival...
I'm sorry to interrupt again, but... I'm upset that they cut Ultimate Deletion from Hulu. I still saw the whole thing.
It wasn't shown to the live crowd either. And Raw or the WWE production team is what creates the Hulu stuff. So I don't know what their thought process was. If they thought it would be better seen on YouTube in different clips. The thing with clipping it up for YouTube is that all the other clips got like 300,000 views tops, and then the one with Jeff Hardy in the thumbnail got like 2 million, so I don't know what that tells you.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. Okay, anyways, continue. I'm sorry.
After their victory, the Revival say there is no better tag team than them to challenge for the titles of WrestleMania, but if Braun Strowman wants to enter their world, they'll enter his, and they announce themselves as the first entrance into the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. I just want to say something. It's been going around in the chat that everyone thinks the Andre the Giant Battle Royal was going to get canceled this year, and I 0% thought that. There's literally an Andre the Giant documentary coming out 2 days after WrestleMania. To cancel this Battle Royal would be the stupidest thing they ever would have done.
Especially if they're going to have the counterpart still there.
Second stupidest thing they ever would have done, actually. They named the women's one after Moolah, but the second would have been canceling the
Andre. At least they undid their mistake.
Which they shouldn't have done.
Wanted to name it the Mae Young one. I'm pretty sure Mae Young is the name they would use for most stuff. But they already used it for the classic, so they had to use somebody's name.
Yeah. And they probably wanted it to be different from Mae Young since they named the Mae Young classic or whatever after her. And it was just kind of like, who else is there?
Oh, no, but who's the lady that won the women's title at WrestleMania 1?
Shit. I don't remember off the top of my head. I think it's Wendy Richter, and I think she would have been a fine name for it. Or Sensational Sherry, I think, would have been a fine name.
Yeah.
Definitely. Not Mova. Yeah. That was
Something about the podcast last week. I was going to mention this at the start of the show. Obviously, I named it Snickers is Our Hero because it was 40 minutes. And the moolah thing was the thing of the week. I didn't really...
Before you move on, bro, it was so many memes on Instagram. Like one of these dudes actually did a video, like, and he sent it to Snickers. He was like, "Hey guys, you got heard of that moolah thing, so I'm gonna give this to you. This is Roman Reigns guy, and we really don't like that fucker, so can we just get him out of there too?" Oh my god, laughing. And he actually sent it to Snickers and Twitter. Like, what the fuck? Like people are just sending them their WWE problems now.
Like, my favorite thing about Twitter is how many companies actually talk on there, and you see them interacting, and they post some of the funniest stuff sometimes.
That shit was hilarious. Like, he just totally went off. Like, he was like, "Reigns guy, I don't like that fucker too. Can we get him just out of there?" You know what I'm saying? Like, he just went off on Roman. Like, damn, I don't like him that much either, but shit, you're to the point where you're so desperate, you gotta talk to a candy bar company.
Continuing on from what I was gonna say, I listened to the podcast from last week. I didn't really like it. It was probably the worst one we've done. Me, Travis, and Ashton were all kind of busy, and we all kind of had our things. Shut up, Aaron. So I didn't really promote it all that much. I thought it was just kind of a 40-minute. It almost kind of felt like, hey, we're doing a podcast every week, so we have to do this. And I kind of hated that sound out of us. It just sounded like we were getting through it to get through it. So that's why I didn't promote it too much. So for those who have been wondering, why haven't I seen a podcast the last 2 weeks? It's because I didn't really promote the one last week. I did a couple times on the page, and that was it, because I didn't really like it. So I'm sorry about that. But yeah. So that's that. This one's going a lot better already, just so we're clear.
You're welcome.
Shut up. Before her tag match with Bayley, Sasha Banks comes out and says she was taught that if you have a problem with someone, you need to talk to them head on. Sasha explains that at Elimination Chamber, she was just trying to win, while Bayley's portrayals the past 2 weeks were not even for a victory, but she forgives Bayley and extends a hand. Bayley gets on the mic and says she did act on impulse during their tag match and helped Sasha win her match last week, but left right after because of what she did at the Elimination Chamber. She says she understands that Sasha needed to win, but the fact that she smirked and enjoyed kicking Bayley off the pod is what ate away at her. Bayley asks her if she's her friend, why was it so easy for her to knock her down? Absolution interrupts, and Paige says Mandy and Sonya will show them how a real woman handle things. Sonya Deville.
That storyline's actually good too. Like, it's kind of surprising.
Yeah. Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose defeated Bayley and Sasha Banks. So there's that. Now on to Ashton's favorite part of the show. John Cena comes out to get an answer from The Undertaker after his challenge last week. He says this is not your typical Raw because everything is bigger than in Texas, and says tonight we will find out The Undertaker's response. He says it is ridiculous that The Undertaker thinks he no longer belongs, because as long as the WWE exists, The Undertaker's name holds meaning. Cena takes a survey of the crowd, and who naturally all cheer for the match. Cena hypes up the crowd, but says that Undertaker's response has been complete silence, and that is the biggest mistake he has ever made. Cena says he doesn't care if he fights Taker or not, but to not even give an answer is disrespectful to every fan who has ever cheered for him or cared about the streak. Without the fans, there would be no Undertaker. Cena says that after all the fans gave, Undertaker can't even give them a yes or no. If he's retired, say no, and people will understand, but if he isn't, just say yes and give the world what they want. John says Taker isn't the god the fans made him, he is just a man who is a coward. He repeats it and calls Undertaker a coward again, challenges him to prove him wrong. He doesn't even need a yes or no, he'll settle for any of Taker's mind games like the casket or the lightning. As the crowd chants for something, then dies down, Cena says that was the moment when everyone gave up on him. He isn't a god, and he barely gets to call himself a man. To Cena's surprise, The Undertaker's brother Kane comes out, and John asks him if he has Undertaker's answer and pushes the mic to him. Kane instead just grabs him by the throat and chokeslams him. Next week...
All the way to hell.
Next week, Kane versus John Cena on Monday Night Raw. We get another vignette where Matt Hardy seeks guidance from a giraffe with the soul of George Washington. Matt Hardy seeks guidance from a giraffe with the soul of George Washington.
So, like, wait, one of my favorite things he does.
I'm still waiting for Smokin' Joe the kangaroo. Yeah.
Totally missed out on this shit when it was in TNA because I'm totally lost. I don't know what the fuck to say.
It's on YouTube. Go.
Oh my gosh.
Go indulge yourself. It is a treat.
What the fuck are they doing? It's like that, bro.
It's like Matt's on acid and he's just having.
The Miz is in the ring and says he is fed up with not being respected after not being on any of the WrestleMania promotional material. Guys like AJ Styles and Brock Lesnar not only get to be promoted, they get singles matches while he is stuck in a triple threat. Miz asks again if he's the bad guy. Just because the fans buy Balor and Rollins merchandise doesn't mean they are good guys because deep down they resent each other. Miz says at WrestleMania he is going to push Tyler Black and Prince Nevitt back down to the bingo halls where they can two-sweet each other as much as they want. My favorite thing about this was Dave Meltzer got on Twitter and got very pissy that Miz called this dude Prince Nevin. He's tweeted something to the response of how you've been a lifelong wrestling fan and we're supposed to believe that when you can't even say Prince Devitt. And he was, and a lot of people thought he was joking, but he was dead serious with the replies he was getting. And then people just took him to town for it, and eventually he deleted the tweet. But man, Meltzer got worked by this promo really hard.
Shut your old ass down somewhere. What was so bad about him saying Nevis? It actually gave him heat. Shut the fuck up.
It's nothing bad. It's just a promo. It's even funnier that he said Nevitt instead of Devitt. That makes it imply that he doesn't care about the indies.
Yeah.
It was funny.
I love that.
It was funny. And Meltzer got worked, and that made it hilarious. So
who knows? Maybe the Miz meant to do it. You never know.
Exactly. Balor, Anderson, and Gallows, the Balor Club, took on the Miz Garage in a six-man tag team match. Balor defeated The Miz with a schoolboy roll-up. After the six-man tag, The Miz Garage beat down the Balor Club before Miz is able to deliver a skull-crushing finale to Finn. Seth makes the save, kicks Miz in the gut, curb stomps him. Matt Hardy takes a trip out on the Lake of Reincarnation on Skarsgård, the dilapidated boat. We get a video package. This was one of the best video packages I've ever seen before we, start this. Video package showcasing Ronda Rousey's history from her Olympic wins to her UFC career. She says that just because she's a woman doesn't mean she can't have confidence. She talks about how she felt there was nothing left after her final UFC fight and how her husband told her she's more than just a fighter, which is funny coming from Travis Brown, who's literally a human can inside the octagon, but anyway. She says she isn't afraid to care now. She needed to be miserable before to be happy now, and says being in the WWE is her dream come true. Rousey says she was always meant to be in the Olympics, she was always meant to be in UFC, and now she feels she was always meant to be at WrestleMania, and it's all led to this. The main event of the Ultimate Deletion. I'm not going to go through this. There's no words. Words won't be able to do what the main event was justice. There's clips on WWE's YouTube channel. There is the full thing on YouTube somewhere and on Dailymotion. Find the entirety of this Ultimate Deletion and watch it.
I will say it was really good, but it didn't match TNA's. Was amazing because it had so many.
I'd say this was the second best one. The final deletion is still my favorite. I did not like the Excursion of Gold as much as this.
I really liked that. I just like the concept behind it.
Yeah, that's fine. This was my second favorite. It didn't match the final deletion, but it was still a lot of fun. It made me laugh. Matt Hardy defeated Bray Wyatt and threw him into the Lake of Reincarnation. That's about all I can say. The rest of it,
The freaking drone was kind of cheesy, though. It was so cheesy.
It's been cheesy, though, since TNA. I mean, that's the whole thing about the Hardy universe. It's cheesy, it's campy, it's fun. It's so much fun. Like, goddamn, I was laughing this whole time. And seeing the people who are used to the WWE style on Twitter going, like, this is trash. Why would you make this the main event? It was just even more hilarious. So, like...
Yeah, I hated that shit, because I was like, I'm pretty sure if Matt and Aaron and everybody likes it, it's pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
Trash again on Twitter, I'm like, you fuckers are probably just regular-ass fans who only know
you like people. You marks it down.
Fuckers won't be like the Rock and Stone Cold people who just like,
I mean,
are still stuck in the Attitude Era. Like, Jesus, like, come on now.
I mean, it's not bad to only watch WWE. Like, there's been this movement lately where if you only watch WWE, you're stupid or dumb or a mark or something. That's not bad to only watch WWE. Don't get me wrong. But, like, have an open mind to different stuff. And if you didn't like it, that's fine. But saying it's trash and saying it didn't deserve the main event is kind of bullshit, because we need different stuff like this in wrestling. And it was fun. It was a lot of fun. SmackDown Live.
Main events WrestleMania 35, I'm quitting WWE. I swear on everything I fucking love, I will only watch the indies. I swear to God, if this man main events WrestleMania 35, I'm done. There's the Cena didn't even main event this many minutes.
He's going on record. He's on record now, guy.
I am on record. I will be the best indie wrestling news person ever. I will delete every fucking thing about WWE on my laptop. I will never do a WWE edit again.
Well, you might as well get started, because...
I just want it to be known that this time next year, Ashton will be doing indie reviews.
That's not funny! But he's going to main event Mania again. There's no fucking way. Somebody else, like, come on.
I will repeat myself. I want it to be known that next year.
Oh my god!
Actually, no, I think that if they do plan on going with Rousey and Asuka and everything works out that way, then I do foresee that being the main event, but I'm just joking with you. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't think they're even going to go with Rousey and Asuka. Who knows? A year is a year is a year, so. SmackDown Live. SmackDown starts with a throwback promo video of Daniel Bryan's retirement on February 8th, 2016, along with the breaking news that Daniel Bryan has been cleared to return to his in-ring career. So we start with the promo. Bryan says the two people he wants to talk to aren't here yet, so he decides to talk about something else. He says there was a time where he was depressed because he couldn't do what he loved to do, but he was focused on being grateful for his amazing family, amazing friends, and the best fans in the world. Bryan now talks about his wife, Brie, saying that when he was depressed, she was the one that encouraged him to go see specialist after specialist after specialist. Crowd breaks out in thank you, Brie chants. Bryan says that over the last 2 months, he has asked WWE to take another look at his case, claims that every doctor said the same thing. You are cleared. He thanks the WWE and their doctors for taking another look at his case, every single person in the crowd and at home for supporting him, and Brie for all the support over the last 2 years. Now on to the fun stuff, as he called it. This was a really cool moment. He says he doesn't know where or when he will get back into this ring as the crowd breaks out in WrestleMania chants and everyone is pointing at the sign. And that is what WWE And that is what WWE is going to use for the next 25 years in WrestleMania vignettes. They didn't have to force anything. They got a natural response when this dude said this and everyone pointed at the sign and chanted WrestleMania. They got their shit for the next 20 years.
Every time they did a yes chant, every time he said, "You are cleared," every time they chanted WrestleMania, it just was like, oh my gosh. The chills just...
It was really awesome.
It was magical.
He says to the WrestleMania... Yes. Yeah. To the WrestleMania chance, he says, "I don't know if that's going to happen, but will Daniel Bryan compete in a WWE ring again?" And the crowd again responds with yes chance. After the commercial break, Bryan is walking backstage as he sees a WWE official. He asks him to tell Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn to go to his office when they arrive. He then walks into Dolph Ziggler, who welcomes him back and says he can't wait to beat Daniel. And Daniel Bryan replies with, "Well, you can certainly try." Shinsuke Nakamura took on Rusev with the WWE champion AJ Styles at ringside. Styles obviously not going to be competing until WrestleMania. Not as good of a match as the Fastlane one, but still a pretty fun match between Nakamura and Rusev. Nakamura defeated him via roll-up. Aiden English attacked Shinsuke. AJ, who was ringside for the match, took 5 minutes to try and help him because obviously he's not cleared to like do stuff in the ring. So he was taking his time, taking his jacket off, adjusting his belt, all that. Shinsuke finally takes care of Aiden English and Rusev, showing AJ that he doesn't need help and showing AJ that he is a force to be reckoned with heading into WrestleMania. Backstage with Natalya and Charlotte, Natalya tells Charlotte she knows she's afraid and tells her it's only a matter of time before the Queen bows down to the Empress Asuka. Charlotte says she's actually excited to face Asuka. Natalya says she's better than them both and that she should be fighting at Mania. Charlotte says to Natalya, "You may not be facing me at WrestleMania, but we can have a match tonight," to which Natalya replies, "Good." Backstage with Shinsuke and AJ, as Shinsuke tells AJ he did not need his help and says he will beat AJ at WrestleMania with knee to face. Natalya and Charlotte happened. It was a pretty decent match. I always liked Natalya and Charlotte matches ever since NXT. I think these two always had decent matches at their worst. During Natalya and Charlotte, Carmella comes out and attempts to cash in her Money in the Bank contract, but is met with a boot to the face from Charlotte. Natalya then rolls up Charlotte, getting the win. However, the bell didn't ring for the cash-in, so it wasn't official as Mrs. Money in the Bank keeps her briefcase. Mm-hmm. The Usos say that at Fastlane, the Bludgeon Brothers weren't just there for their gold, but to hurt them. Jay says that despite the Bludgeon Brothers' attempt to shut them down, they're still here on SmackDown Live. They say that 3 weeks from WrestleMania, they will not step down. They welcome the Bludgeon Brothers to the Uso Penitentiary. Then out come the Bludgeon Brothers to begin the match, and I left, so I didn't get to see this.
I think that match is going to be so underappreciated.
Yeah, we're going to get a triple threat between the Bludgeon Brothers, the Usos, and the New Day at WrestleMania. And for those who are saying the New Day are kind of the ducks out, they didn't get to compete at WrestleMania last year. They were the hosts, so I'm glad they're getting their match this year. Something they definitely deserve. Jinder Mahal comes out and cuts a promo, says everyone booing him are hypocrites, says he doesn't need to be here, he could be on vacation or the biggest movie star in Bollywood. He says he is the man that chose to make SmackDown Live the premiere show, and he claims he should be everyone's hero, when out comes the glorious Bobby Roode. He says Jinder Mahal is the only hypocrite in the arena right now. He says as far as he is concerned, Jinder doesn't deserve any respect. The only thing Jinder deserves is Bobby Roode pinning Jinder in the ring at WrestleMania in the triple threat match to win back his U.S. title. Out comes the United States champion, Randy Orton. Randy tells Jinder to shut the hell up and says, "You don't understand why people don't respect you. The reason is because without the help of your little stooge, you suck." "You suck" chants come from the crowd. This makes Jinder Mahal mad, and he takes off his jacket, hyping himself up. However, he rolls out, and Sameer Singh takes a glorious DDT from Roode. Orton goes for the RKO on Roode, which is reversed, and segment ends with Jinder screaming, "See you at WrestleMania" from outside the ring. And after the commercial, it was confirmed that next week on SmackDown Live, it will be a tag team match between Bobby Roode and the U.S. champion Randy Orton against Jinder Mahal and Samir Singh. It's main event time. Daniel Bryan is in his office. Shut up, Aaron. Approached by an official letting him know that Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn have arrived. Daniel tells the official to tell them to meet them in the ring. Back on SmackDown Live, Daniel Bryan is in the ring. He says it has already been a big day for him today, but he still has one more thing to address. He introduces Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, and out they come. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn hug him, and then Owens says they're so thrilled for Daniel. They said they weren't going to be there tonight because they knew Shane wasn't going to be there tonight, but they heard the news about Daniel, so they raced over. Owens says they got pulled over on the way, which was why they're late, because they can't believe the speeding laws in Texas. Sami says when that entire SmackDown Live locker room were jealous of them, Daniel was fair. He says that Shane was trying to hold them down and that Daniel was there. Sami then shows his excitement for Bryan returning to in-ring action. He says anything with Kevin Zayn and Bryan on it is a dream show and also sounds like a dream team. Bryan says he appreciates that, but that's not what he brought them out here for. He tells them to take a look, and then a video of them attacking Shane last week rolls on the Tron. And after the video ends, Kevin and Zayn are laughing. Bryan asks, "You guys think that was funny?" Kevin replies with, "We are mad enough to admit we got carried away, but Zayn says you gotta admit he did kind of deserve it." Bryan says this is not a small thing, this is a big deal. He says you two are two of the best in the business. He goes on about how he supported them in every match. Every time they won, he was like, yay. He explains how when they said they got carried away, they got a little more than carried away. They assaulted their boss. Daniel goes over Kevin versus Sami at Mania. He says not only did Shane give you that match, he also said he was taking a leave of absence from Commissioner SmackDown Live, but they knew that Bryan was still there in their corner, but they still for some reason felt the need to attack their boss. Bryan says he really doesn't want to have to do this. He explains that he has been fired from the company 2 times and he hates to do this, but fires Kevin and Sami. He explains this was a really cool callback. When Daniel Bryan was let go from WWE after the tie incident, he was told, this isn't goodbye forever, it's just goodbye for now. He told Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, this doesn't mean they're gone forever, but they're just gone for now. So that was really cool. He shakes both Kevin and Sammy's hand, but Kevin out of nowhere knocks Daniel down. Then Sami lays into Daniel with the punches, but Daniel reverses with a takedown and takes down Sami and starts punching him. Straight jacket suplex from out of fucking nowhere to Sami. This gave me a pop. Straight jacket suplex right on the neck of Sami Zayn. And now we see the old corner drop kicks. And now the yes kicks to Kevin Owens, but Sami Zayn launches himself on Bryan, holding Bryan while Kevin super kicked him into next year. Next year, because that's the next time he's going to be cleared after this assault. Now Kevin...
Danny! That is not funny!
What if he went through the impact testing after this and they said, that kick fucked you up, Daniel, I'm sorry.
You are not clear.
Oh,
bad,
bro. Oh, bro, I will feel so bad if that happened. They just took him off the shelf. They put him on the shelf again after that. That would be so bad.
Yeah. Now Kevin holds Bryan in the corner, helping Zayn deliver a haluva kick to Daniel Bryan, setting him back another year in his clearance. You suck, chance erupt from the WWE universe. As Kevin Owens is screaming, Daniel attempts to get back on his feet on the outside, but is knocked down by Owens as they pull Bryan outside the ring, and Kevin Owens gives an apron powerbomb to Daniel Bryan. Out comes the stretcher to help Bryan as the crowd chants Daniel Bryan as Kevin and Sammy are still raging on the ramp.
That moment was crazy.
This, to me... This is the conversation I imagine Vince McMahon and Daniel Bryan having. And I know Daniel Bryan was... I know Daniel Bryan was 200% okay with every bump he took. He was probably smiling once he got backstage and jumping up and down and freaking out. But I imagine this is Vince going, "You haven't taken a bump in 2 years, pal? It's time to make time up."
Yeah. He took like 3 or 4 of them.
to get back until Christmas, hey?
Yeah.
That was SmackDown Live. Very good show. 2.88 million viewers for SmackDown, a 4% increase.
Wait a minute.
The day.
Oh, did he just say what I think he just said?
What?
That was a good show.
Yeah, I did say SmackDown Live was a good show.
That was a great show for...
I will not say great, because I was bored for an hour.
No, listen, let me finish. I said great for how the shows have been going.
And there was no stupid text font. There was no rock star over Shinsuke, and there was no stupid backstage fonts, and there was nothing.
You know why it was a good show?
Road Dogg took off the MDMA he was on and just...
Because storylines are being built. Story progression was happening.
It's amazing because there's been none of it the past few weeks, and when there was, it was dragging and dragging and dragging and dragging and dragging and dragging, and then it's been a month and it's still dragging and dragging and dragging, and then it's 2 months and Shane is still around and Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are doing their thing, and it's dragging and dragging for the next 4 months, and then all of a sudden, wait, Daniel Bryan's cleared, and here we go on the fast lane. So, yeah.
I want to know. First started with Shane versus Kale. Then, Shane and his family versus Kale. Then, it went into Sammy and Kevin versus Kale. Daniel and Sammy and Kale versus, and now it's Sammy versus Shane and Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
So many fucking different.
After WrestleMania, all I gotta say, better be a fresh start with everything. Everything better be fresh.
You guys know me. You guys know I want to see the world burn. What I want in May is for Daniel Bryan to get traded to Raw. And for Daniel Bryan to face Roman Reigns for the Universal title at Payback. And I want Daniel Bryan to eat a spear and get pinned.
Don't you ever say that shit again. Don't you ever. Don't let that shit come out your fucking mouth ever again.
For the second time in the last couple of weeks, we are now looking for a new host for the
In all fairness, I did say I prefaced that with saying I like to watch the world burn. That's what would make the world burn.
That to happen though. That's not even a world burning, bitch. You want some Thanos shit now.
You want to destroy the universe.
The universe, literally. Like, what is going on with you?
They can attribute the loss to ring rust. It's been 3 years since Daniel has competed in a championship match.
Don't tear his ass apart in that.
Or make him look like the best wrestler ever. This is not
a scenario. I'm talking a scenario where Daniel Bryan gets pinned in the center of the ring.
You're not a scenario, Matt.
That's not a scenario. That's how to end the WWE. That's the self destruction of WWE. That's the beginning. If they do that, that's absolute bullshit. First off,
second off, to be on top.
that would be our alternative. Like, that's the shit we would have to turn to. Like, you sure you want that to happen? Because, holy shit. I don't want the world to burn. You want the universe to burn. God damn. Fucking what? Tell me. Why in the fuck do you want that to happen? And second off, and that there will be no getting Roman Reigns as the face of the company anymore.
Oh, I never said that Roman Reigns has to be the face of the company after this. If we're watching the world burn, we're watching the world burn with Roman Reigns going down as the heel. I'm not saying he has to be the face of the company in this.
But WWE is wanting him to be face of the company. So
this is my scenario.
That.
This is not their scenario. This is not your scenario. This is my scenario.
Well, no one cares about your scenario, Matt.
How? Because if that motherfucker turns in, he can pin Daniel Bryan all he wants.
If Roman Reigns gave Daniel Bryan a Superman punch and all of a sudden we hear the news, Daniel Bryan is no longer medically cleared to return to in-ring action.
Never mind. Fuck you, Matt. I hate you.
Can you imagine the fucking heat? I could probably warm up my car in 2 minutes with the heat that would result from that.
It wouldn't even be kayfabe.
And I live in North Dakota, and I could warm up my car in a minute with the pure heat that would result from that.
They would want to kill Roman, like, he would...
Oh. And then he walks out to the ring, waits for 15 minutes, says, "This is my yard now," and walks out.
I'm done with this podcast. I'm retired.
It would literally be a riot. Like, it'll be on some ECW one night stand shit.
Oh my god.
You thought him beating Taker was bad? Poor bitch. Let him end everybody's career for real this time. Like, no coming back. He is going to die. There's no way he's getting out of that arena.
They would have to walk him out with security. They would legit have to
pull a Goldberg, like, on the legit side, though, like, on the legit.
Yeah.
Legit.
No kayfab. Yeah, no kayfab.
Mix,
you gonna die.
Mixed match challenge. Okay, let's all settle down here. Our what ifs are out the window. We're fine. Everything's fine. Asuka and The Miz took on Alexa Bliss and Braun Strowman. Asuka and Miz won. They are heading to the finals of Mixed Match Challenge. Next week will be the team of Charlotte and Bobby Roode versus the second chance fan vote winner of Sasha Banks and Finn Balor. Yeah.
Looks of Bliss and Braun Strowman's making me uncomfortable.
Alexa Bliss and Braun Strowman needs to be a power couple on Raw. I don't like Alexa Bliss's title reign, but this has been the best part of Mixed Match Challenge's Bliss and Strowman by a long shot. 205 Live. Gulak.
Wait, hold on.
Yes.
Or whenever I see Alexa Bliss and Braun Strowman, I immediately see that gif of the train.
Yep.
Just forcing itself into the canal.
Yep. I agree.
Okay. I'm not the only one. Okay.
No.
Travis has just informed us that Kevin Owens has lost his verification on Twitter, which I sent in the chat 2 days ago. So, yeah. Yeah, Travis. 205 Live. Drew Gulak versus Mustafa Ali. Very good match. Once again, I didn't get to catch the matches before this because I've been busy and just trying to get the main WrestleMania stuff out of my way. Good match. Mustafa Ali won with the 054 to Gulak, as Gulak's no-fly zone is no longer in effect after getting beat with that. Mustafa Ali, Cedric Alexander, Cruiserweight Championship, WrestleMania, gonna be a show stealer.
Yeah.
Strong Style Evolved is two nights from tonight, March 25th, Long Beach, California at the Walter Pyramid. It will be live on Axis TV in the United States and on NJPW World internationally. Not a lot of promotion for this, but it is a sold-out show, 5,000 people. Sold out pretty much right away, in all honesty. News came out a couple nights ago that Rey Mysterio will not be facing Jushin Thunder Liger due to a bicep injury. Rey was down in Birmingham, Alabama yesterday with WWE medical officials and with Dr. James Andrews' medical staff and trying to look at his bicep a little further. It was a grade 1 bicep tear. It was devastating enough for him to miss Strong Style Evolved, but shouldn't be too terrible after that. So they're trying to get him cleared for a WWE contract. So there's that. Will Ospreay is taking the place of Rey Mysterio in this match. Will Ospreay versus Jushin Thunder Liger, which should be a great match. Also, other matches on the show, Roppongi 3K, Rocky Romero, Sho and Yo, take on SoCal Uncensored's Christopher Daniels, Frankie Kazarian, and Scorpio Sakai in a six-man tag team match. Taguchi Japan's Juice Robinson and David Finlay take on Chaos's Hiroki Goto and Gedo in a tag team match. Chaos's Toru Yano and Chucky T, the PWG World Champion Chucky Taylor, take on the Killer Elite Squad of Lance Archer and Davey Boy Smith Jr. The Gorillas of Destiny, Tama Tonga and Tangaloa, take on the Bullet Club's Cody and Marty Skrull. Taguchi Japan's Hiroshi Tanahashi, Kushida, and Ryuzuki Taguchi and Dragon Lee take on Los Ingobernables de Japón's Tetsuya Naito, Sonata, Bushi, and Hiromu Takahashi. The aforementioned Thunder Liger versus Will Ospreay. Chaos's IWGP World Heavyweight Champion Kazuchika Okada and Tomohiro Ishii will take on Suzuki Gun's Minoru Suzuki and Zack Sabre Jr., as Zack Sabre Jr. is coming off winning the New Japan Cup. So congrats to Zack. Big opportunity for a Gaijin. Jay White will defend his IWGP United States Heavyweight Championship against Hangman Page. It will be the only title defense on the show. And the main event is set up to be maybe the best tag team match in the last 10 years in any promotion. The Golden Lovers of Kenny Omega and Kota Ibushi take on the Young Bucks. So, if you don't have Access TV, it's on NJPW World. If you don't have NJPW World or Access TV, find a way to watch the show. It's going to be a great show. Two nights from tonight, so Sunday night. That's that. News came out yesterday that WWE has confirmed talks with Hulk Hogan about a possible return. According to PW Insider, Hogan and WWE have been in talks over the past several weeks about this return, most likely as a brand ambassador. WWE issued the following statement. We have had discussions with Terry Bollea, a.k.a. Hulk Hogan, about how he can help others learn from his mistakes. However, he is not under any contract with WWE. Mainly silence from you guys, so.
Yeah, I don't care about Hulk Hogan anymore.
Okay, so we'll just move on. Well, I don't want to talk. Rey Fénix and Penta L0M, more commonly known as Pentagon Jr. and Lucha Underground, have declared they're all in. They're joining the all-in show. I really want to see Pentagon Jr. versus Kenny Omega. I want that to be the match.
Yeah.
That would be an amazing match, but
I don't think Kenny's going to let him do the arm wrestle.
If we see Sierra Miedo and Kenny Omega technically gets his arm broken and Cody Rhodes comes out and...
What the fuck did you say?
What?
Say that one more time.
In kayfabe, if Pentagon Jr. were to do Sierra Miedo on Kenny Omega and break his arm, in kayfabe.
You're saying that wrong.
Okay, sorry. I'm not.
Man.
Give me your Spanish. Give me your Spanish. Nothing.
Dash and talk.
Nothing. Okay. If he were to perform that move and Kenny Omega gets his arm broken and Cody Rhodes comes out and drinks champagne and puts confetti over the broken body of Kenny Omega, I think All In would be the greatest wrestling show of all time. There's that. It has pretty much been confirmed that Bray Wyatt will be seeing a character change after being thrown in the Lake of Reincarnation Monday. They're not going to change the name. They're not going to look to change the song, I don't believe. But, yeah, if they go back to more of the cult leader he was when he debuted on the roster, that'd be really nice. I really enjoyed that, so.
I mean, they just make the fucker pure evil. Jesus. Just stop trying to add some... I don't know what the fuck they were trying to do. They've been trying to add, like... some kind of like human side.
It's or yeah. Like, it's not complicated, but they've made it complicated.
No. Yeah, I wish he had. He needs more of a following or hypnosis kind of thing or something like. I don't know. It just needs to go back to where it was with like the John Cena feud. I love the John Cena feud with Bray Wyatt. Just the whole crowd singing, he's got the whole world, you know, it was just like, that was his following.
Also an update on the plans after WrestleMania, it is planned for Roman Reigns and Samoa Joe to work the program for the Universal title. Should be fun. I always like the Reigns-Joe matches, so.
Yes. I want to see Joe choke that Samoa
wannabe
bitch out.
There. He has in the past, so it's not out of the realm of possibility. So that, unless you guys have anything else to add, would be the end of today's show. Anything else?
Nope.
Ashton?
I got something to say.
Okay.
It's actually been a fun show.
I mean, when people show the fuck up, you know what I'm saying? Excuse me, you know what I'm saying? Sorry.
Travis, if you're listening to this, show up.
Even though you won't talk anyway, so it doesn't even matter.
You know? Okay, anyways. So, basically, the past few weeks, I've been keeping my head clear, you know what I'm saying? I've just been trying to past everything going on in my life, but you know, I just, as the fact that some people on the staff just don't understand the concept of speaking with your peers or something, simple like that. You know what I'm saying? I just want to get past this point that even though some fuckers and that it's a group, and you're not the runner of it.
Matt.
I didn't do shit.
Just understand that this show can move on without you, and that even though you may think you're the whole shebang, you aren't. I'm tired of people having to think that they actually run the whole page. I was hired by a group of people, not one. So if anybody understands that concept really fast, before there's a big problem, it's a bit annoying. So in closing, I will say this. Please understand that it is a group you work with, and it is not a singular person that runs this thing. This is a democracy, not a dictatorship. This is not your show, it's our show. And if you don't get that, then we will have a problem. And I promise you, I beg of you to please let us have a problem, because I will handle you with swift justice and unforeseen passion. You don't understand how frustrated this makes me, because the fans that literally listen and tune in don't want to just listen to some people's voice when that voice is very annoying and it doesn't understand exactly what people want sometimes, and somehow wants to see the world burn, and those stupid-ass scenarios are just so uncalled for. It doesn't understand exactly what fans want, and it doesn't exactly understand what this means to people. So I will say this in closing. This... you may think.
We're cutting Ashton's mic off. We're running out of time.
This is our show now.
We're running out of time. he is now muted. Thank you for tuning in to the BTC Top Rope Talk Podcast, Episode 8. Thank you for tuning in from Matt, for Aaron, and from the now muted Ashton. We will see you guys next week. Thank you.